Have you seen the well-to-do up and down Park Avenue on that famous thoroughfare with their noses in the air? High hats and arrow collars, white spats and lots of dollars, spending every dime for a wonderful time. Now if you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits, putting on the Ritz.
Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. There's a terrific show in Milwaukee, and as soon as I saw it about a week ago, I thought, we got to have these guys. These are quadruple threat performers, and we just have to have them on the air. And so John Peterson and Jack Forbes Wilson, who are starring in the show that is at the Stackner Cabaret in downtown Milwaukee, Songman Dance Man, are joining us in our downtown Milwaukee studios. It's a very interesting show that John Peterson wrote, and he is the main performer, the tap dancer, the singer in this program. He looked at and has studied the histories and the life stories of George M. Cohen, Fred Astaire, Bobby Darin, Sammy Davis Jr., Gene Kelly, Anthony Newley, and Donald O'Connor. And he tells us their stories, sometimes very poignantly, and dances and sings. Jack Forbes Wilson is no stranger to audiences in Milwaukee. He is the pianist. He is the musical director. And you'll remember Jack from his marvelous performance as Liberace in Milwaukee last season at the Rep. So I invited them to join us because they're terrific performers, and it's a great show. And how often do we talk about some of these great hoofers who also sang, and what goes into doing an incredible two-hour performance? I don't know how it's done. So let me introduce to you.
We don't need.
But you do
and
it.
We don't know why we're doing it. No, we know.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. John Peterson is, you'll hear, I'm sure you'll recognize in a moment that he is from England. He's from London, actually, and he's making his Milwaukee debut. He has performed all over the country in New York and Fort Lauderdale and Connecticut and Detroit. He's appeared in the Broadway production of Cabaret. Off-Broadway credits include George M. Cohen Tonight, a Drama Desk Award nominee, Have a Heart, many, many other productions. He's performed in England. He's been on television, and we're delighted to have him with us. Thanks so much, Sean. It
thank
was a
you.
Great, great show.
Thanks for having us all.
Yeah,
thank you.
But
a
it's
pleasure.
Not a Milwaukee debut, really, because I saw Cabaret on Broadway, and then I saw the tour. And I
which
thought,
was better.
I thought the tour was better. Oh. And I thought the MC was a lot better, come to find out.
This was
it
the MC?
Was John.
Oh,
yeah.
I can
so,
see you in that
was
role.
That the first time you were here?
Yes, that was the first time I was here, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it here. And then I was here in 95. We were trying out the George M. Cohan show before it went off Broadway. And we did the Irish Fest.
Irish Fest. I love Irish Fest.
Yeah, we did
right.
A couple of days
nice.
Trying the show out there, and it went down a bomb. So we thought, oh, if Irish people like this show, then it'll go down well at the Irish Rep in New York. So that's kind of what we did.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Jack Forbes Wilson also joining us. He plays piano for this show, and he is a wonderful piano teacher. I know from experience in my family.
From your wonderful son.
He's a wonderful son, but you are a terrific teacher. He teaches, but he's a really talented guy. I don't know how many of you saw Liberace, but Jack, I told him he should take this on the road. I don't know if he did or not, but he certainly could spend the next few years doing Liberace, and he performs doing Cabaret all over the place, and he's an amazing guy. I mean, he's the kind of guy you're going to do a piano lesson and you have no idea what's going to happen because there are two pianos, and he's so enthusiastic, and he's the best teacher you could ever have.
Oh.
And I mean that. He really is. He is fabulous. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. I know it just started, but I hope some people have seen this show and can talk about it. Tell me about the idea of weaving together the stories of these particular performers. Was there something compelling about their life stories that translated to dance and song?
I wanted to write a show about guys that could do so much that they were just overwhelmingly amazing. Like they weren't just an actor or just a dancer or just a singer. They were everything. And of course, for Anthony Newley, he not only did all that, but he wrote songs and he wrote the books. He wrote the shows. You know, he was amazing. So I wanted to sort of honor these guys because their names are slipping away now as time moves on, and they shouldn't really be forgotten because we're drifting away into some sort of morphed appreciation of what real talent is, you know, when it isn't really talent, it's whatever it is now, I don't know what, shaking. you know, so we really want to just remind people that, you know, once upon a time, people were really good. And wasn't it exciting? Could we maybe try to be good again? So I'm not saying that I'm good, but I try
to... Oh, you are good. You are good. Well. Is it a lost art, the kind of talent that they did and that you do? Is it hard to find stages to do that now?
No, actually, it's not, because people are hungry for it. It's just that the people that provide it for us aren't doing it. They're too busy on the computer, I think, looking at internet porn. I don't know what they're doing.
But, I think, you know, a lot of them are. You're right.
Yeah. John, is the work maybe a lost art too? Because you hear about somebody like Debbie Reynolds who could she even dance at all before
at the
she was cast in Singing in the Rain?
But they trained her up, yeah. And she did have a talent for it.
Because of those, you know, movie musical actors, they seemed to be able to do it all.
Everything, yes. Right. Yeah, but they had the MGM Studios had it was a factory. They trained people, they had schools. I mean, it was an entire world, it was an entire city. So if you went into that fold, you were honed and sculpted and nurtured over years. When Judy Garland was signed up by MGM, I think she was 12 or 13, and they didn't do much with her for about 3-4 years. They just sort of honed her, you know, and she became... I mean, she was brilliant anyway.
She was brilliant.
I mean, there was no denying that talent. But they honed her. They coached her. Kay Thompson was the coach at MGM, and she was a very famous cabaret performer herself, and she actually coached Liza Minnelli. They made, you know... But there isn't anybody to coach us now, so we're all on our own. but we have to look for inspiration.
You brought it to the stage. Let me ask both of you this question, because Jack, I saw you in Liberace too, and it's a high performance thing that you do on the piano as well. Because I play a little bit of piano, but I can tell that you've crafted certain kinds of riffs and things, and you respond to them as a dancer, which is wonderful to see on stage. So you're very much a part of the show.
Oh, yes.
But this idea of, and you did it with Liberace, of being on for 2 incredible hours singing and dancing, you must be exhausted. How does anybody have the energy to do that? You're the only talking voice on stage. You were in Liberace. How do you do that?
You get the energy from the audience.
You do?
Yes,
you do.
John does a show Friday. He does 2 shows on Saturday. He does 2 shows on Sunday. And after Sunday night, the truth is, I think he may deny it, but I think if we had to do another one, I think we could.
Possibly. I mean, it may be at the detriment to my long-term health, but I
but
think
you
we could
get
do
it. From the
adrenaline surge and the enthusiasm and the inspiration is there, yeah. The body may not be, but yeah.
But physically, what do you have to do to be able to do that? Because your voice never broke. You didn't fall down on the stage. It is high energy, and it's beautiful to watch, too. You have to do something to be able to do that.
You have to structure your day as soon as you wake up with a view to doing the show at whatever time the show is that day.
Really?
And you have to get to bed, give yourself at least 7 hours good sleep if you can. If I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm not getting my sleep, I have to just sacrifice a bit of the day to finish up my sleep. Eat well. I do yoga. Bikram yoga, hot yoga.
Oh, do you really?
Yes,
you do.
I teach
hot
it
yoga.
Too.
Oh.
Yeah.
I teach it as well.
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah, and that really helps me. I don't do it every day. I do it maybe 4 or 5 times a week. I can't do it on matinee days. That would be just too much.
Right.
But it's really good, because if you put yourself through hell, then doing the show is almost easy. I just, after doing an hour and a half of hot yoga, I just walk into the show and it happens. Just as a sort of a byproduct.
What about you, Jack?
Well, I play through the show every day and then make myself sight read Haydn or Mozart or somebody else. And yeah, I make myself play the piano 3 hours a day.
Amazing.
That doesn't count. That doesn't count all the other playing I do during the day.
He's an incredible pianist.
He's incredible.
Isn't he amazing?
I think he is.
He's just amazing.
I think I can say he's the best I've ever worked with. I mean, I've worked with some great pianists, but you're right at the top.
Oh.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
He actually hasn't gotten around much.
Oh, stop. Let people say that. See nice things about you.
I've had them all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the fun thing about this is I have played for singers and I played for dancers, but I didn't realize until a few days into the rehearsal that tap dancers are, their feet are instruments. And so I have to accompany what's the instrument? The shoes or the floor? I mean, you're playing the floor. Sort of. And I never thought of that, about that before. And so I have to get out of the way when I need to, and I need to enhance it.
Instinct that is the key. That
right.
Hardly any pianist have. Great pianist, but they don't have that instinct.
Right.
And he has that instinct. It's amazing.
Yeah, he does. And you can hear it in the performance, too.
I said to him, if he had been contracted to MGM in the 30s, he would have been up there with all the guys that, you know, arranged for those musicals and played for those great
musicals. Would you have liked that, Jack?
I think I would have.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had a great director, too, Brent Hazelton.
Brent Hazelton,
directed
yes.
us, and he Wonderful. Really, we didn't have much time because John had done versions of this show, but not this show, and it was rewritten a lot, and Brent really gave us...
He really punched into shape.
He made us work, but he also... let us feel free to play around whenever we wanted to.
Yes.
And he almost never said anything was bad.
No,
he didn't, did he?
No.
He was very diplomatic. We would try things and he'd say, yes, I like that, you know, knowing it was a complete, you know, balderdash. But he had a good way of
So tell me, for those who have not seen it, I'm acting as though everybody in the audience has seen this great show, and I hope they do, but I'm afraid it's going to be a sellout, and you're going to have a hard time seeing it. So you'll probably have to add other shows. But tell me about the creation of it, who you chose, why you chose these song and dance men.
Yes. Well, I had done a one-man show about George M. Cohan, which I did not write, but we just talked about it. And I was asked to do it in Rhode Island, and they said, but we've not seen the show. Could you send us a DVD? So I got the writer to send the DVD that we made the show, and they said, oh, actually, you know what, one show about George M. Cohan, who's been dead 100 years, might be a bit too much. They didn't like the idea, but it's a great show. But they said, can you just come along and sing some Cohan songs? I'm like, oh god, no, I really don't want to do that. And they said, well, just write a show, just get some songs together from your favorite performers. So I thought, okay, why don't I write a show about... So my initial guys were, I think, Gene Kelly, Fred Astaire, definitely. And I thought I'd throw George M. Cohan in because he was the first 20th century song and dance man. And he invented the Broadway musical, basically. It was his initiative that... because he was the first person to write a libretto and the score. You know, he wrote the songs and choreograph and put the whole thing together to make a musical and star in it too. I mean, he was crazily talented. So it had to start with him. And then from Gene to Fred. And then I had Sammy Davis Jr. initially. I took him out after a while, for a while, because I had a lot of comments about a white guy portraying a black guy, which I thought, okay, well, I think that's ridiculous, but I'll take him out. I don't want to be disrespectful to Sammy. That was the last thing I wanted to do. So I took him out for a while, and then I thought, oh, to hell with it. It's an homage to him, you know. It doesn't matter what color I am.
Sure, right, exactly.
You know, I was telling his story in earnest, you know, so I put him back in. I had Charles Aznavour in for a while, who was a French singer who is still alive, but wonderful songs, not very well known over here, which is why I took him back out again, because not many people knew who he was. But it's a shame because his songs are amazing, and he wrote a lot of stuff for Liza Minnelli as well.
Also a great talent,
yes. I mean, with those genes.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, and Donald O'Connor was not in at first. I didn't have Donald O'Connor in for a while because basically he didn't have, for me at the time, enough material to draw from. I thought, oh, God, well, what can I draw from? Because his stuff was given to him, you know, and there wasn't a lot of it either. He was always second fiddle, which is the same. Then I thought, no, his talent was monumental. I cannot leave him out. So I have enough of his stuff in to honor him, I think. And who else do I have in the show?
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly, of course. Gene and Fred, of course, were the two, you know, beacons of talent, so I had to have them.
Anthony Newley,
I chose because he wasn't a dancer, but when he sang, he danced, you know, physically. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just inhabited his songs so much that, and his movements and the way he held notes it was a thing of beauty. It was like watching a great ballet dancer, you know, when he danced. So I had to have him for almost obscure reasons. And also he like Cohan was a genius. He wrote, directed, not choreographed, but he wrote, directed his shows, starred in them, and his backlog of songs from his shows is, I mean, Once in a Lifetime, On a Wonderful Day Like Today, Feeling Good. Is that the name of the song, Feeling Good? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could climb a mountain. I could build a mountain. I can't even remember
now. You're going to sing it tonight. You better brush up.
Exactly. And What Kind of Fool Am I? The Joker Is Wild.
And You'll Be.
Yes, the score for Willy Wonka.
World of Pure Imagination.
Yes.
I mean, he was a genius. I could not leave him out. And also, these guys that I did choose, all their lives intertwined in some way. Either they knew each other, worked together, were inspired by one another, used each other's work. So, and this was over a period of 2 to 3 generations, you know, from one to the other, from the oldest to the youngest. So that aspect of it was intriguing to me. They were all one sort of pulsating animal, you know, of the song and dance man, or the song man, dance man, which is why I chose to call it song man, dance man, rather than the old cliche song and dance man, because they weren't necessarily all song and dance man. They were song man, dance man, which is more of an interesting twist to the old phrase anyway.
And the one we've forgotten is Bobby Darin, who has one of the most interesting stories.
Yes.
I didn't realize that about his
and a
life.
Fascinating story, yes. Died sadly, tragically young, not because of any abuse, but because he was born with a, well, he wasn't born with a heart defect, but he had rheumatic fever when he was very young, which damaged his heart. And he was a great talent, much underrated. You know, he could do it all. He could dance. He could do impressions. I mean, his impressions of, oh, my goodness, George Burns. No. Who did he imitate? Was it George Burns? I think it was. I mean, it was part of his act, you know. Groucho Marx. He imitated so many people. And he was a great dancer, even though he didn't train as a dancer.
Nominated for an Oscar.
Nominated for an Oscar.
Was he really?
Yes, he was, yeah. As Best Supporting Actor.
Captain and then Newman, the story, MD. I won't tell the story, but the story about his mother is just astounding.
It's very poignant,
and you do it so well on stage, too.
I tried to sort of, I mean, it was tragic. We're not going to tell you what happened, but you have to come see the show.
Yeah, come and see the show.
Yes.
And what about for both of you, because you both have these amazing talents, is there anything about their lives or about, this is a really general question, but is there something about them in particular that you relate to, the influence of family, being on the road, finding a mentor who taught you how to tap or sing or play the piano? Is there something that, because you need a big encouragement somewhere along the way to take this up as for a living, because it's a hard thing to do.
Yes. I don't know what it is about us performers or whatever we are. There's something genetically different in our wiring. I mean, I've tried to analyze what makes me want to do what I do. And, you know, some people want their 15 minutes of fame and they want to be on American Idol or whatever it is. And that's different. That's not why I ever wanted to do it. It was just something, it was almost like a calling. I want to, A, be in that world. B, I want to tell stories to people. I want to sort of pass on information, pass on inspiration to people. I've always wanted to do that, be a vessel. And I don't know why. It's not for any sort of self-aggrandizement. Is that the right word?
Yes, it is.
It's just because I don't know. I just feel, I haven't been able to analyze why. So that's why. And it's a very lonely existence, you know. It's
I'm sure it is in many
ways. Yeah, because you have to be very disciplined. You have to,
On the road.
And you're on the road, yes. You have to. You're basically on your own. You know, it's tough.
You need a dog, John.
Well, I mean, I do have a happy home life. I have a happy home life, but I have to leave it a lot. You know.
Oh, you do have a dog.
No. I have a happy home life, but I don't have a dog.
Okay.
I guess you could call my partner a dog in a way. my little puppy. But it's hard. And from myself, and for a lot of dancers, from the age of 11. Full time at the Royal Ballet School in London.
Oof.
My childhood ended at 11, you know, and I was young for my age, so my childhood really ended at 6.
So you studied at the Royal Ballet School?
I was there till I was 17, 18.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
It was an incredibly interesting experience.
Yeah,
the
sure.
story he tells about Astaire not really wanting to study ballet.
Yes.
I always think you're talking about yourself.
In a way. Yes, in
I
a
mean,
way.
He learned from it. As you did. But
yes,
I get the
did.
Impression you'd never really liked
I didn't
it.
Really want to. Well, I didn't want to be a ballet dancer because I was so inspired by Fred and Jean. And yet, ballet was totally inspiring to me. And if I'd been, because I had a hole in the heart and I didn't know I was, I had it fixed when I was 40.
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
And I didn't know, I just was always a little weaker, a little less stamina, you know, a small, slight kid, which is apparently is a hallmark of a hole in the heart kid. You're paler, you know, blue lips when I go swimming. My lips would go blue. And so if I had become a full-time ballet dancer, it probably would have killed me because, you know, the stresses and strains on the body were astronomical.
Well, you stopped doing this hot yoga then.
Oh, but no, but really? I've had it fixed now. And also, it helps my heart, the hot yoga, because it's such a demanding thing. You know,
okay.
It keeps it,
yeah.
Keeps it beating.
Yeah.
So I do have a passion for ballet, but it's not quite as strong as my passion for Gene and Fred's work.
Good.
You know,
I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad because you have a unique kind of talent. You're obviously very
thank
unique.
You. But Jeff, I was sorry.
And ballet dancers don't sing.
Ballet dancers don't sing.
That's right. And he needs to sing. What about you, Jack? Because Jack, you've taken a circuitous route. You were going to be a physicist or something.
Well, I was
you?
A chemistry major.
A chemistry major,
yeah.
Right?
But I put myself through college teaching piano lessons, and then when I was done, I thought, well, maybe I'll do this instead. So I came to Madison, the University of Madison, to study with the great Howard Karp, and learned how to play piano there, and then went out to American Players Theater and saw a show there in Spring Green and decided I had to move to Spring Green. So I was there for a while and then came to Milwaukee to do a show with Dale Gutzman for a summer, and I haven't left since then.
Hmm. And you teach?
And I teach, and so I've always loved to play the piano, but I have it has more happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But your list of talents has always astounded me. That you have, you could have been a renowned chemist as well.
I don't know about that, but
it's true. You could have been. You have all these.
Yeah, I liked it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember what oxygen is anymore, except that I think it's something that I'm breathing.
Oh, yes, you do. It fuels you. We're going to. If you want to join our conversation, please feel free to do
talk
so.
To
our
us.
Phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Songman Dance Man is at the Milwaukee Reps Stackner Cabaret, and it runs until...
January 8th.
Thank you. January 8th. And there are some matinees. I know it's going to be a sellout because Jack's show Liberace was a sellout too. So if you, I highly recommend seeing it. It's a great night out. It's the performances are marvelous. John is just a very, very gifted performer, and it's great. It's a great show. And how often can you see the songs and dances and the stories of George M. Cohen and Fred Astaire, Bobby Darin, Sammy Davis Jr., Gene Kelly, Anthony Newley, and Donald O'Connor. So join us if you'd like to find out more about their lives, about performing, about, you know, whatever. And I hope that some of you who have seen the show will join the conversation. If not, you know, it might be early in the run, but we'll just talk. Our number is 800-486-8655, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Who can take a sunrise, sprinkle it with dew? Thank you. Cover it with chocolate or a miracle or two. The candy man.
The candy man can.
The candy man can, because he mixes it with love to make the world taste good.
John Peterson and Jack Forbes Wilson are our guests in our downtown Milwaukee studios. Songman, Dance Man at the Milwaukee Rep Stackner Cabaret. An email that's come in, Katie wants to know what you thought of Hugh Jackman as a modern day song and dance man.
Oh, I think Hugh Jackman is fantastic. Yeah, he's amazing. Not a trained dancer, but fantastic. Just a great actor. Great performer. I saw him in The Boy from Oz a few years ago in New York, and he's astounding. And they say, I have some friends that have worked with him, and they say he's the most wonderful man, too. Mm. So that trumps everything as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
He's exactly. A great guy, yeah.
And what about being wonderful people? Did you choose these people because they all seem to have...
They were wonderful people.
They were wonderful people. There.
Yes.
There's my question.
I think if they'd been less than wonderful, I may have thought twice about having them on, because I've never appreciated performers whether they're stars or not, who behave badly. I just think that's bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear some of the people, how they behave, and it's just awful and unforgivable. Yeah, especially some of the guys around now, because they don't actually have any talent and they're still behaving badly.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
You know, why? Like, well, Kim Kardashian or whatever, you know, you hear about some of their antics and you're like, oh, right. Really? I guess it's good press. I mean, it all looks good and it's good entertainment when they behave badly, but
people you interview. I mean, some people can be really big hotshots and you think, you know, they're going to be full of themselves. And when they're not, when they're just, it just endears you to them. And then other people who are so full of themselves, you just want to go, goodbye.
But you must smack
them.
Cut
this short.
Yes, I know.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, you, like Judi Dench, you know, like the world's greatest actress, and she's the humblest, sweetest. Yeah, she'll hold the door open for you, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
Mm. And what about this music, Jack? Are there certain... Did you like all of it? Did you?
A lot of it is new to me. And,
is it? Oh, that's interesting.
I just remember when I was in seventh grade trying to play I Got Rhythm, and it was too hard for me. And so I knew.
It's hard.
They called me up, I thought, oh, I Got Rhythm's going to be in there. I'm going to have to say no to this. But there's still lots of wrong notes in I Got Rhythm.
No,
I practice that one. Lots. I practice that one every day. But by January 8th, I'm going to know that one.
It's perfect.
But like I said, it's just the fun of playing with an instrument that I've never played with before.
Uh-huh.
This percussion instrument on the floor.
Feet.
The feet.
Yeah. Gershwin has some, and the rhythm on that is, it's hard to get. It's hard to get it down, isn't it? It must be hard as a performer, too.
Yes, it is hard, but fun, because the rhythms are so, actually it's not hard, because they're so interesting. The rhythms are so interesting that you... that you just inhabit them, because they're quirky and they're like, oh, I see. Oh, that's interesting. And it sort of goes right in. It's weird. Sometimes the harder the rhythm, the easier they are. Because, you know, if it's intelligent, then it's not hard to learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you're learning dialogue in a play, or when you get sides for an audition, when they give you like a piece of paper with the monologues to read for an audition, the hardest ones to learn are the worst ones. If it's really well written, it goes in like a sponge somehow, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to hear the other instrument, the tap, before you started playing along with it? Did he perform before you started putting it
A lot of times, yeah. Or I would stop and I would say, wait, you have to do that phrase again. And then he would come
up with this magic that would accompany it beautifully. It was almost like a revelation when he would come up with things.
Yeah.
It was great.
And I'm still hearing things in performance.
Still, yes. It's growing and growing and growing, like daily. And it will continue to grow, probably till the end of time. Yeah.
And we had another email wanting to know if you're going to travel with this show, specifically wanting you to come to the Twin Cities area.
Okay.
Oh, yes, sure.
If you get a hall, we'll be there.
We'll be there.
Oh, my God. You bet.
Have you been to Minnesota?
Twin Cities?
Yes.
Well, somebody
I love Minneapolis. It's Minneapolis-St. Paul, right?
Yes.
I've never been to St. Paul, but I love Minneapolis.
Yeah. Well, you've got
have us, please.
Right. Yeah, somebody
NPR listeners.
You won't be sorry. These guys are, it's a wonderful, wonderful show. And so Minneapolis, invite them.
Oh, please do.
Just
I love
let
the
us know. We'll send us an email and we'll link you with them. All right, go to Laura calling us from Arpin. I don't know where that is. Hi, Laura, are you there?
Oh, I am.
Hi, go right ahead.
My almost 5-year-old daughter is in her second year of dance, and this is when they start introducing tap.
Oh.
And, you know, when they were doing the pre-ballet kind of stuff, she just loved it, and you could see on her face that she was having such a good time. And now, when she has to start working to the beat, her face is all screwed down, and she looks very frustrated and intimidated. And I don't think she's got, like, a natural sense of the beat. So I was wondering, is that something that you learn, or is that kind of something that you're innately born with?
I think to a degree it's something you're innately born with, but you can also learn it. So don't give up hope. And also, she may have more of a passion for ballet than for tap, and it could be as simple as that. You know, you're just finding out at this stage where her stronger passion lies, and maybe it doesn't lie in tap so much as ballet, and that's a great thing, you know. But don't get her on her toes yet. That's my advice. Don't get her on her toes till she's about 9 or 10 or 11. Because until you're fully formed, you know, the bones are still soft and supple, and you could damage, you know, if it's too early. I know a lot of dancing schools get them up on their toes at 6, you know, and 5 and 4, like, ugh, and it's just like, please don't do that. You know, get the feet and the legs and the body strong first and a little bit more established before. That's my only advice. But yes, but she might grow into tap. I know when I was a kid and I started doing ballet and tap simultaneously, I had an equal passion for both. You know, I loved them both. We used to have to do folk dances and things from different countries, and I hated doing that, like Norwegian, you know, things. Well, I had to do the whole thing, you know, and I didn't like it. So it's something I had less passion for other things. So, you know, it's see where it goes. And if she really hates tap, just, you know, let her concentrate on ballet. There is no wrong.
Laura, I think that all kids can sing. And I think that all kids... all kids can sing. And I think they've all got rhythm. I think your daughter maybe just has a very complex, unique rhythm that only she hears. But
That's true.
But, yeah, if she keeps with it.
Yeah,
you can do it.
She'll be up there.
Yes, go with the joy.
I definitely think that she likes it. It's just that she has to work so hard and gets frustrated. Is there something that you would say, you know, do this with her so that she gets a better sense of that beat so that, you know, it could be more fun instead of just work?
Well, maybe introduce her to some really fun, like big band jazz music, which has really great rhythm, you know, like a good percussion, good drums. Maybe if she got into something with good drums in it, she might really get a feel for it. If Count Basie is a bit too advanced for a 5-year-old, I don't know. But, you know, maybe she might get into jazz and that might get her into tap. Some of those old beautiful musicals, like The Bandwagon with Fred Astaire, they had really good big band hitting rhythms, you know, and maybe some of those old stuff might get her excited. And also, yes, just good drummers. Maybe Google some drummers and see if she likes the rhythms. That might help.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Laura, for the call.
Thank you, Laura.
If you'd like to join us, our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. I did break down and bought an iPad about a month ago, and then I saw your show, and there's a whole thing that you put out of resources that has all these YouTube. I didn't even know about YouTube. I went to YouTube about a month ago and started going to all these. Oh my gosh, Fred Astaire. I must have spent an hour and a half on this iPad with Fred Astaire, and then I went to Gene Kelly and Bobby Darin, who was singing songs with Judy Collins, and it was just wonderful to see all these people. He was extraordinary. He was just... I don't even know how to describe him. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful dancer.
Yeah. You talking about Fred?
Yeah.
Sublime. And he was, I think, my biggest inspiration.
Was he really?
I think even over Gene. Gene was my initial inspiration, and Fred was my he kind of finished me off, and he was what refined my passion for. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see, there's a movie called Broadway Melody of 1940, and the dance, I mean, it's a great little movie and the scenes are cute, but the dancing is, it will blow your head off.
What's the name of it?
Broadway Melody of 1940.
Okay.
And with Fred Astaire and Eleanor Powell, I think George Murphy is co-starring, and it's truly the most wonderful dancing you'll see ever in a movie.
Did he start with ballet because he's a ballet tapper.
Very balletic. He didn't enjoy ballet particularly, Fred, because he knew what he wanted to do. You know, he had this sort of, we didn't quite know what it was, but he wanted something different. But he trained in ballet, and you can see, of course, this beautiful sort of elegant style he has. But I think Gene may have been the better ballet dancer. Gene trained in ballet as well, and he was strong, very physically strong, and I think he sort of grabbed the balletic technique a little more solidly than Fred. I'm guessing. I mean, I wasn't there, and I'm just going from what I can see. But, I mean, who's to say? I mean, one is not better than the other. Gene is not better than Fred is not better than Gene. They're both different people with different styles, you know, and equally amazing. And they did one dance number together in a movie called Ziegfeld Follies in the mid-40s, where they actually did a number together called The Babbitt and the Bromide, where you see them it's like a competition dance almost, but there is no competition. They're both just glorious dancing together. And by the end of it, they just enjoy like letting rip together. That's a great, if you Google that, I'm sure it'll be on YouTube somewhere.
Okay. All right. Do you dance, Jack?
No. So
he wanted to come on in the curtain calls and dance with
him. Yeah, John taught me a time step, and I'm ready to get out
it
there
up immediately.
Really?
Yeah, but it didn't happen. I guess he didn't go for it, did they?
So you can learn it. So we can all learn to dance.
Well, yes, I got rhythm.
You told us. Yeah, you got rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, anyone can to a degree learn to dance, and I think it's that. That affinity which pushes you further, if you have an affinity for it, which goes beyond what everybody can do. Like everybody can learn math to a degree, but it's that brain that takes you one step further, which, of course, I could never dream of having.
Well, let's talk about that one step further, because you're both in a field that's, I mean, it's really hard. It's really hard to break through in your field. So what is that one step further? Is it just happenstance and pure luck, or is it years and years and years of very solid training and then getting a great agent? And what is it?
It's all of those things. The majority of great dancers are completely unknown. And the ones that are high profile are not necessarily the best. They just have the personality that drives them forward, or the luck to have a good agent who pushes them forward. So if you go into the chorus of a Broadway show, you will see much more talent than you'll see playing the leads, always. It's just that they haven't had the break yet, and some of them, most of them, never will. So that's the tragedy as well, because there are some performers that have the longing and the passion and the ability and the God-given, you know, gift. But because circumstance doesn't allow them to come to the fore, you'll never see them. Hmm. You'll never see them. And that's the tragedy of being a performer. Because and also being a theater performer, only a certain amount of people will ever see your work. It's never captured on film. So Fred and Jean were lucky in that sense that they have been immortalized.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the rest of us, you know, we do it every night and we try to create a little bit of magic, and then it's gone.
Yeah. And you, Jack, have fashioned a number of different careers for yourself. You teach music to young people. You play. You perform as well. You sing. And you do cabaret performances. You've been able to fashion a pretty rich life in many ways.
Yeah.
I mean, not in terms of money, I'm sure, but in terms of your soul, right?
A lot of little things that nourish my soul. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Have you ever had the desire to really, you know, do Broadway, go play piano on Broadway, or take Liberace to Broadway?
Really like living in Milwaukee, I have to say.
Oh, I love that, Jack.
Well, they've, you know,
yes, I know.
You know, they've talked about maybe taking Liberace someplace, and I want to stay here.
Aww.
So I hope they find somebody who can do it, because it's a good play. But I
but
like Milwaukee.
Did you see him?
No,
this
and
time?
I really want to.
He's very, very
He's
good.
Going to do it again. He doesn't know it yet.
Okay, he really should, because he does.
Because we're all at him.
He does the variety. And because he's a Milwaukee person, too,
right.
He brings that element to that show, which is...
Yes.
Yeah. Right after I saw it, I told him, Jack, you can take this anywhere. And people ask... Has he taken it anywhere? Andrew asked me that today. I said, I don't know if he has or not.
Not
but
yet.
He should. He really should. It's
and they
worth
want
seeing.
To as well, because the director, Brent Hazelton, who also directed this, he told me, he told me that he wants to take it, to take it off Broadway, and he wants Jack to do it.
Oh, Jack, do it. Do it for those of us who are in Milwaukee, please.
That's his goal,
I'm not saying nothing.
But you should.
Because there are witnesses.
I would like to see you on Broadway in that show.
Yeah.
That's what I would like.
And I'd like to come see you, too.
Oh, John. All right. Good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's settled. let's talk a little more. Feel free to join us. I know this is the kind of conversation. It's not like healthcare in Milwaukee. We're talking about everything. But we're talking with the wonderful performers in Songman, Danceman. It's at the Milwaukee Rep Stackner Cabaret until January 8th. And John Peterson, who is the playwright for this and is also the performer, he's a marvelous dancer and singer. Jack Forbes Wilson, who is indispensable in his role as piano player, because he picks up on the dancing as well. So he's doing his piano by listening to the music. And
I'm just scoring.
and the scoring and the tap dancing. Yeah. So, has anybody seen it? Call if you've seen it, because I know you. I know this audience, and I know you will rave about it. Maybe you're on your way, and you can let us know that, too. Our number is 800-486-8655, but we're also talking about this field of singing and dancing and Broadway, and perhaps a time that has gone by looking at the performers Jack or and John highlight in this, the songs and dances of the greats. Are there greats now? All right, so call if you want. 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain.
And we go to more phone calls now. Tony in Fond du Lac. Hi, Tony.
Hi, good morning. Great show, a dance show on the radio. I, despite Gene Kelly being more classically trained, he's always struck me as a hoofer,
yes,
as opposed to Fred Astaire, a dancer. And I was wondering if you make a distinction between a hoofer and a dancer, and how you would distinguish it, and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, we're going to start getting political now, I think.
To start with Fred and Gene, the comparison, I know what you're saying about a hoofer. A hoofer is someone who probably wasn't trained but has a natural, can just do a little buck and wing and kind of moves good and everything. And Gene gave the impression of that so beautifully, but he had the backup of years of intense training, so he could be a hoofer or a dancer. So that's what a hoofer really is a not too well trained but really quite good dancer, which none of them were. They were all great dancers who could hoof with ease.
Hmm. Thanks, Tony, for the call. Jean in Cedarburg, hi.
Oh, good morning. I haven't seen the show. I saw the ad and was so enthralled because Donald O'Connor was mentioned.
Ah, yes.
And when I was young, my dad grew up in a little southern Illinois town, and his sister, my aunt, was a ballerina and went on to Chicago. She would always talk about Fred Kelly.
Yes.
Gene's brother.
Oh, yeah.
And she would dance with him, and there was a man, wow, Ernie Flatt, up in Chicago. And she did get to go out to Hollywood with the Kellys. She unfortunately had to cut that short to get back to help the family during Depression. Mm. But she talked so fondly of Fred. Oh. And you don't hear that much about Gene's brother.
No, you don't. Isn't that funny? And they started out as a double act. They were a double act, equal partners. But Gene was very loyal to his brother Fred. He always had him as assistant. He worked with him constantly throughout his career. And, of course, Fred continued to teach throughout his life. So he was a very – and Fred actually danced – I may be wrong, but I don't think I am – in a movie called Take Me Out to the Ball Game, which Gene did with Frank Sinatra. God, I hope I'm not wrong. And I think that he did a number with Gene, Fred and Gene together in that movie. So he was very much always a part of Gene's life, which I think is wonderful.
Mm.
And equally talented, but just as we were saying before, Gene became a star, Fred didn't, for whatever reason, we don't know. Equally talented. So there you go.
What does Lauren Bacall say?
Lauren Bacall said, stardom isn't a profession, it's an accident.
Mm-hmm. That's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell us some of the personal stories, too, of is somebody like Sammy Davis Jr., his whole beginning, how it was difficult for him being a black man
at that
and
time.
Traveling at that time.
Mm. Yes, the vaudeville, because he was in vaudeville as a kid, as were they all, just about, except for the later ones like Bobby and Anthony. But it's unspeakable. When I first came to America, I had no idea what racism was, you know, until I came to America and realized and read the history. And I'm still reeling from the shock, you know. And Sammy was part of that generation, you know, or part of the end of that era, which, you know, is debatable as to whether it's over. But he suffered a lot, you know, and he was treated as a third, fourth, fifth-class citizen. And even when he was a star, some venues would have him enter through the back door. They wouldn't have him enter, you know, because he was – it was just unspeakable. And he pushed against it and tried to fight it with love, you know, his whole life. It was mm-hmm. just, you know – Don't be aggressive. Fight it with love. Fight it with your talent. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
And people took advantage of him.
He was such a generous man, you know. And because, you know, stemming from what? From childhood, he wanted to be loved, wanted to be accepted. So he was always generous. I don't know what the reasons were, whether he was just a generous, wonderful man. You know, people took advantage, yeah.
Yeah. 800-486-8655 is our number. Jim in Westfield. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I just have a comment to make. When I was very much younger than my 62 years now, I would sit up in the evening and watch the older movies of Fred Astaire, who I was enthralled with him, and Donald O'Connor and Gene Kelly. And there's also one other guy that I don't think was in their class, but had such a different style of dance that he seemed to be unique to me, and that was Jimmy Cagney.
Yes.
And I wonder if you could just tell me a little bit about him or what you think about the work that he did. I know he was into serious movies as well,
yes,
where there was no singing or dancing that way. But what do you think about Cagney and that unique style that he had?
Yes. Well, he started out as a vaudeville performer, and he was a dancer. He started out before he was a movie star, but he had a passion for acting, you know, which over superseded, is that the right word, his passion for dancing in the end, which made him what he was, well known as an actor, not so well known as a dancer. But he had a talent for dancing that was always, was never going to leave him. And of course, when he made the movie about George M. Cohan, Yankee Doodle Dandy, he was able to use his, you know, dig up his old dance talents and bring them to the fore again, and people could appreciate, you know, where he came from, and he was a dancer.
Hmm. The other thing that both of you exhibit on stage is that you probably enjoyed all the practice, but it really does take years and years and years of incredible discipline for you, Jack, to be able to play the piano like that. You play all forms of music, and you play it so brilliantly. To be able to dance like you do, John, you've spent a lot of time getting to the point where it seems effortless. I mean, you must know that about yourself. I've worked very hard to be able to do what I'm doing.
I practically, for me, and I know for Jack, I've practically, you know, ejected my soul out of my body for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's and it makes me sad now because I used to still do ballet class every day up until quite recently, really, with the heart thing and everything. I've sort of stopped doing it because I just don't want to go through that anymore. But it's a shame that now I'm getting older. I couldn't do a beautiful arabesque like I used to be able to do, you know, and I wouldn't be able to be the dancer I was as a ballet dancer. So that makes me sad that what I, my goal in life was to create beautiful shapes and to interpret life through dance, and now even if I wanted to, I'm not going to be able to do that so much now, which is
don't even give a second thought to that. Look at what you're doing now. When you can't, when you're an old man, you can create.
You can still create. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Look at those great old tap dancers when, you know, like Bojangles when he was an old man.
Yes,
he still managed to.
Yes, Jack. What about you?
Well, you know, Malcolm Gladwell, is it? He talks mm-hmm. about talent and success and luck, and I think he doesn't believe in talent. You know, it's mostly the work, but the thing that's most important is love. You know, and the greatest of these is love. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a love of what you're doing, you mm-hmm. probably won't succeed. But if you do have that, you'll find the success.
Yes.
In your own way.
I think
in
that's true in all areas of life, yeah.
Yes.
Kathleen in Milwaukee. Hi, Kathleen.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
Oh, my goodness.
You are awake.
Our hair is standing on end.
Uh-huh.
I know, I love her name. I am such a theater geek. Two things, one of which is, two questions, and one of which is if you could comment on the first screen test, if you're aware of it, that Fred Astaire did, in which they basically said that he was skinny, balding, and could dance a little, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't know it exactly.
Yes.
That would be the one, and the second part would be, who are the major influences in your lives to get you through the progress of initial lessons and not just idols from a stage, but local people who really influenced your lives?
Yes, yes. Great question. Do you want to start, Jack?
And we're running short on time, everybody.
Teachers. Just having great teachers who paid attention.
Yes. That wasn't quite long enough. You've got another 15 seconds.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I had some dreadful teachers and some wonderful teachers. The wonderful teachers just were mentors, you know, and they filled you with love and they inspired you with love. It's all about love, as Jack just said, love. And I had dancers that inspired me and singers that inspired me, you know. We are a product of our inspiration. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and as far as Fred Astaire's initial screen test goes, that just goes to show, never give up. If you believe in what you do, if they told Fred Astaire that at the beginning of his career, which they did, then if they say it to you, don't take it personally because they're probably wrong.
Thank you both so much for being with us. The show is until January 8th. Somebody call from Minneapolis, please. Send us a message.
Yes.
Send these guys to the Twin Cities. They want to go.
Please.
Jack, it's time for Broadway.
Yes.
All right. Thank you both so much.
Thanks so much, Kathy, for having us.
The show is great.
Thanks, Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Chrissy Pease for producing this program.
Long as I'm singing, the world's all right and everything's swinging. Long as I'm singing my song.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from CTM with their signature production, A Christmas Carol, December 9th through the 23rd, a Madison family tradition at the Overture Center Capitol Theater. Details and tickets at ctmtheater.org.
Do you remember a favorite teacher? Did you ever take time to let that teacher know how much he or she meant to you? I'm Renee Montaigne, here to ask you to join NPR and StoryCorps on the National Day of Listening on November 25th. Share a memory to Facebook or Twitter, or record an interview yourself. For more, visit nationaldayoflistening.org.